Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Liu Qintong recently retained his position as Johor DAP chief for the fourth straight term at the state party elections last weekend, with Kulai MP Tian Ching as his deputy. Now, the contest captured headlines as a battle between two divergent tendencies in a party, one leaning towards its Chinese demographic base and the other towards its more multiracial commitments. But does Qintong's win settle that debate once and for all? To help us understand the dynamics between within one of the largest parliamentary blocs, we have on the line with us Liu Qintong, Senator in Dewan Negara, also Chief of DAP Johor. Qintong, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Melissa. Hi. Hi, Sharad. How are you?
Can we begin the conversation, Qintong, with asking you whether you think the media's framing of this contest was adequate to really understand what was going on? I mean, the media's framing had this two divergent sentiments, one that was predominantly Chinese-centric and the other was more multiracial. Was that a fair assessment?
I think there were some parts of that was an exaggeration, but there were definitely what they call groups in the party trying to portray it in such dichotomy. But actually, such dichotomy is irrelevant to me, or actually outdated. In 1980, there was such a debate within the DAP where the Chinese educated felt that the English educated, what they call leaders, were neglecting them or actually aging them out. But that was 1980. Today, we are in a situation where many of us are actually multilingual. We, for instance, actually myself, Ni Ching and Yeo Bi-in, we were educated in Chinese, but we have very strong multi-ethnic Malaysian outlook. So it doesn't just fit into those models. And I think it's time for us to move beyond the 1980s labels.
Qintong, you know, if I could just bring up the question of Ronnie Liu and the debate he sparked. It did seem to resonate. I mean, the aspirations to move ahead and to truly embrace the multiracial character of DAP, not just in terms of its ideology, but in terms of its actually, party membership and its ability to capture, you know, more than just Chinese majority seats. Is to that extent, you know, did Ronnie's criticisms or concerns actually still reflect a certain truth about the party?
Well, let's put it this way. The DAP has always been pushing for a multi-ethnic Malaysian agenda. But of course, there are segments within the Chinese community that actually think in a very Chinese term. Now, I would like to say this. Actually, most of DAP base accept the multi-ethnic Malaysian region from day one. Back in the 90s, when I first joined, we were trying to persuade Chinese not to support MCA just because MCA was a Chinese party. Today, we are trying to persuade Malays not to support UMNO just because UMNO is a Malay party. So the DAP grassroots, the DAP membership, by and large, support a multi-ethnic approach. However, within the Chinese community, there are many who think in a rather Chinese, insulated Chinese way. And that perhaps is the challenge that we are facing. So I like to see that, for instance, let's say in the last election, 90% Chinese voted for the opposition. But actually, the DAP and Pakatan Harapan had only about 65%, which are our stronghold. The rest were actually swing voters that only swung to Pakatan in the final days. They were uncertain, they were undecided, and they were easily influenced by ideas from the Chinese press, ideas that actually say that Pakatan was not pro-Chinese. So there are definitely a sizable number of Chinese who are susceptible to those ideas. But I firmly believe that majority of DAP members are actually in support of a multi-ethnic approach.
Okay, so I wanted to come back to something that you were quoted as saying at that press conference after you won. I may quote you according to press reports that you said it was time for Johor DAP to heal and unite. And to quote you, you said, if there were flaws in my previous term, I will do my best to rectify them now. Chin Tong, can you elaborate specifically? What do you mean by, again, Johor DAP needing to heal and unite? And what do you what did you mean by rectifying flaws? What flaws were you specifically referring to about your leadership?
There were difficulties in getting everyone together in the last few years because there were cracks in the last party election in 2018. And this election basically settled the differences over the past few years and also gave Johor DAP a chance to heal and also to move forward. There were accusations against me during the party election that I did not call sufficient number of meetings and I was not calling enough meetings during difficult times, which I have explained. But the point is, I think we have to move on. And therefore, if there were any criticism, I'm willing to take it and we are prepared to turn things around in the new term. And as I say, this new term is not just me leading, but I want to see this as a joint leadership between me and my deputy, Teo Yiching, and also a very strong team. I think Johor plays a very important role nationally. In the last election, Pakatan Harapan won 18 parliamentary seats in Johor. And Johor forms, without Johor, Pakatan Harapan would have problem winning federal power. So I think it's time for us to come together. It's time for us to prepare for the next general election.
Chin Tong, one other thing that's quite striking about the wins was that, of course, the women did very well. The top, in fact, two positions polled were by women, a part of your team, I guess. But it's also true that, 14 out of the 15 top polls went to people, largely men and Chinese men. Is that a reflection of the recruitment or the failure of recruitment of a more diverse membership?
Okay, out of 15, five were women. Teo Yiching, Yeo Bi-in, Liao Chai-tung, Wong Su-chi, and Gan Pek-ching. So five out of 15 were actually women. So one-third are women. And in terms of ethnic diversity, as I say, the DAP was a sundry shop, it was a grocery shop. It is now trying to be, it is now a hypermarket, and we have to diversify and we have to expand. So in those years when I first joined, not only that Malay did not want to join DAP, Chinese did not want to join DAP. When I first joined the DAP, especially in Johor, Johor was considered a political backwater for DAP, whereas it was a political stronghold for UMNO, MCA, and MIC. So when I mean, say about 20 years ago, even say about 15 years ago, Chinese in Johor who joined DAP are often ostracized by their own community. They were seen as crazy people who actually joined a rebellious movement. But that has changed. So today, we have many Chinese in our party, but we also have Indians, we have Malays, and we aspire to be a Malaysian party in terms of compositions of membership as well as leadership in the years to come.
Okay, but why did it fail then? You have one Malay in the 15 and no Indians. The one Indian was co-opted right into your committee.
Two of them, and then there was another Malay co-opted into the committee. But the point is that it's a legacy of a grocery shop as a It is a legacy of a permanent opposition party, not only not having Malays joining, but actually not having Chinese joining, say about 15 years ago, before 2008. So it was only 2008 that it gradually changed and gradually accepted by Chinese, not to mention other communities, but gradually accepted by more Chinese and Indians. And now we are hoping that in the years to come, we can actually accept more or actually be the political home or natural political home party of choice for Malays as well.
Okay, you know, speaking about the years to come and the near future, we're expecting the next general elections. Now, I wanted to ask you, because you're also a DAP strategist, right? So let's talk about DAP and G15.
There's no such position as a strategist in the DAP.
Well, a strategic thinker within the party. I wanted to ask you about your deputy's comments, Tioni Ching. She, not too long ago, made some comments, and she said that she believes that Pakatan Harapan hasn't done enough to prove to the public that it deserves Putrajaya again. Now, I'm wondering, Chin Tong, what you make of that. Do you agree?
I think, first of all, Pakatan Harapan not only has to present a prime ministerial candidate, but it also has to present a team of leaders, because the next contest is not just a contest of who will be the next prime minister, but also to look at who has the better team. And if you look at Pakatan, actually, our strength lies in our iconic leaders in terms, for example, if you compare Wan Azizah with Rina Harun, you know that Wan Azizah has the support of the public. You compare Anthony Lok with Vika Siong, you know Anthony has the support of the public. You compare Dr. Zhou with Aham Baba, you know that the public support Dr. Zhou. So we need to present not just a prime ministerial candidate, but actually a cohort of leaders who have the trust of the public to show that Pakatan is going to be a better government. Secondly, I think Pakatan Harapan cannot just stand on the three party, but Pakatan Harapan has to reach out to other opposition parties, so that we have a larger Big Ten to include, to be more inclusive and also to include other parties.
Chin Tong, on that score, very quickly, can I ask you about the cooperation between the DAP and UMNO Impera and to some extent Pakatan Harapan and the UMNO-led government in Johor? Is that the future?
I think in Johor and Perak, it was basically what Anthony has previously proposed, which is a form of a confidence and supply. We receive allocations for our constituencies, and we decided to explicitly not to pass the budget. I think that is more like a confidence and supply arrangement, and not actually a political cooperation or an alliance. To me, there's no point to work on a political alliance with UMNO before the general election. We should do everything possible to win the general elections. Pakatan Harapan and our allies should try to win the next general election outright. Now, if we can win the next general election outright, then there's no questions of needing to cooperate with UMNO. And mind you, UMNO is not one single entity. UMNO is now three distinctive factions, at least. You have those who are aligned to Najib and Zahid and the Court Cluster. You have those who are aligned to Mahasan and also the Johor and Perak UMNO leadership, as well as you have the Muhyiddin's UMNO, Hishamuddin Hussein, Anwar Musa, and say about 15 to 17 of them. So UMNO is split, and there's no one single UMNO entity. It is time for Pakatan to build up its own leadership, its own ideas, policy platform.
Chin Tong, I take your point that you're trying to make it very clear that there are three distinct factions within UMNO. Is one faction more attractive than the others?
To me, there's no point to talk about any of the UMNO factions before the next general election, because Parliament is not sitting. There is no point to talk about any numbers now until Parliament sits again. And if Parliament doesn't sit again and it goes straight into the next general elections, then it is time for us to prepare to win the next general elections. And we should aspire to win the next general elections without thinking of cooperating with UMNO. Now, if we can win outright, then we can tell UMNO that we can have a confidence supply and you be opposition, we are in government. There's no point to talk about cooperating with UMNO now.
Tom, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Marissa.
We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but stay tuned for more after this.